The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send those emails to td@kpcg.fm. On today's show, we're going to be going through a few emails from listeners coming from all over the world, as per usual. We'll also update you on just some of the latest news in the work, including a follow-up to yesterday's comments on the Mystery of the Ages goal. In the second segment, we'll get into some of the headlines and examine in particular the speech, or at least play you a few clips from President Obama's speech yesterday about the war against ISIS. We'll also look at Germany's sizable contribution to that effort and how all of this will ultimately reshape and reorganize the entire Middle East, just as the Bible has prophesied. And then if we have time in a later segment, I hope to get into a little bit more on King Hezekiah's reign and specifically focus on the point of looking to God for help in time of trouble, letting God fight your battles. But first, an update on some of the news of the work. Today we finished the edits on the final program in this calendar year, the final television program to play here in the UK. And it's titled Remembering Herbert W. Armstrong. And on this program, we go back and play some excerpts from that tribute program that the Worldwide Church of God prepared in January of 1986. Soon after Mr. Armstrong died, this was the first program that advertised Mystery of the Ages. And during that program, besides covering quite a lot of Mr. Armstrong's ministry, it also played some excerpts of that sophomore address that he gave in late 1985, where he presented Mystery of the Ages to students at Ambassador College. So we'll play a couple of minutes from that particular tribute program from 1986.
Mystery of the Ages was originally written for the students at Ambassador College. In August 1985, Mr. Armstrong personally presented the new book to the students of the Fundamentals of Theology class. It would prove to be one of the last times he would speak in public.
The Bible is like a book that had been sort of cut up into about 2,000 or 3,000 pieces, and you have to get them all put together in the right order, or you can't understand them. This book puts them together. And yet this book is only a synopsis. You could say it's the gist of the Bible. The synopsis, it doesn't cover all of it, but it covers the main thread of the Bible, so you can understand the Bible and understand the other details when you read them in the Bible. It'll open up the Bible so that you understand it. That's what it is for. Make the Bible plain and clear and understandable. And God is such a great God when you come to really know him and who and what he is and how real he is. And I want to say that you need to read every word and you need to go over it more than once. You aren't going to get the full meat of this book in one reading. This is a book that after you've read it, you can read it a second time and then later a third time. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible. It's intended to make it so that you will understand the Bible. You must read the Bible with it. And this is to make the Bible clear and understanding to you as you read it and bring its meaning out as you never saw it before. and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you will enjoy it. It'll give you great happiness and enjoyment. I hope you'll enjoy reading it. And I hope more than any other book you've ever read, except the Bible. And perhaps, in a sense, this makes even the Bible more clear and plain, and you'll enjoy the Bible more from now on. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of thrill that this was then done? This book is out now. Today's a pretty big day in my life when I can hand the copies of this book out to each of you.
That was in August, I believe, of 1985. One of his last public speaking engagements. And of course, in the months that followed, Mystery of the Ages was well on its way to being the most widely distributed book ever produced by the Worldwide Church of God. In the first 3 months that it was available, 750,000 copies of that book were distributed. 750,000. Those that are familiar with the history know all about the largest audience possible. That battle cry, as my father has said, Mr. Armstrong, in those last few months of his life, he said that was his goal, to reach the largest audience possible with this book. And of course, it wasn't that long after his death that we entered into a very sad and tragic period of history for God's church, as Mystery of the Ages was discontinued, and then as those ministers who really stabbed Mr. Armstrong in the back post-mortem did everything that they could to suppress the work, to prevent that book from going out. And in 1997, we started a 6-year lawsuit battle with representatives of the Worldwide Church of God in order to make it possible to again reach the largest audience possible. And so here in the UK, and it's been a small beginning with just one CBS platform, they have a few stations that we're on, but it's just basically one platform that we're on over here, a small station, all of them. And we've set a goal for distributing 2,000 copies of this book by the end of the calendar year. Yesterday I told you that the number of actual books that we've mailed is a little bit lower than the number of calls and text messages that we've received through the year in response to those Mystery of the Ages programs. Before this past weekend, we had sent out 1,544 copies of the book, Mystery of the Ages, as a direct result of those programs that we've played on the CBS stations here in the UK. Now, this past weekend, we didn't offer it automatically, the book, Mystery of the Ages. We played the Christmas program, What You Need to Know About Christmas, in which we offered the Christmas booklet and also the booklet Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which. But at the end of that show, we asked viewers to specifically request Mystery of the Ages if they hadn't yet received a copy. And yesterday I was told that we had 45 additional requests come in for the book as a result of plugging it there at the end of the Christmas program. So if you add 45 to the 1544, that means our total for the year is 1,589, which leaves us 411 shy of the 2,000 goal. Now, that clip you just heard is included in the final program for the year that we'll be playing in a week and a half, and that's titled Remembering Herbert W. Armstrong, and it goes through his legacy, his history with God, his ministry and work. And also, it concludes by advertising that Mystery of the Ages book using the very same footage that was used in that tribute program from 1986. But before that, this coming weekend, we have The Mystery of the Kingdom of God, a program in which we have some, I think, some really attractive promos and commercials and just opportunities for viewers to call in. So here again, we're doubling up. And so maybe on that second program, the numbers will dip slightly. But we're hopeful. We're praying that both programs will generate enough interest, enough response, so that we can get up over 2,000 copies of Mystery of the Ages going out by the end of this calendar year. My father just completed a coworker letter that I believe is in the mail, even as I speak. But he's talking about the Hezekiah Bulla, and he mentions in this coworker letter that the previous one, or the last one that he wrote, talked about the seals of Jeremiah's captors, that exhibit that was there in Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma, for 3.5 years, I think it was. He talked about closing that exhibit down and how the artifacts were being shipped back to Israel, and how that some of them are going into the Israel Museum. And he pointed out in this most recent coworker letter that the day, I brought this out to you before when talking about the bulla over the last couple of weeks, but on the same day that we were packing up everything to go that was leaving Armstrong Auditorium, Dr. Mazar was preparing for her press conference to reveal this new bulla to the world, the one bearing King Hezekiah's name, the king of Judah, son of Ahaz. You know all about this. At present, we have 185,000 views on YouTube. That's just in 2 weeks. My father writes, this is in his latest coworker letter that many of you will receive in the next few days. It says, the find was widely reported in international media. It says, the Hebrew University statement described how students and alumni of Herbert W. Armstrong College from Edmond, Oklahoma, participated in the excavation. Several media reports, including Haaretz and Arutz Sheva, included this detail, the detail about HWAC contributing. Dr. Mazar drew attention to us. Many also pointed to our website, keytodavidcity.com, where we posted a video that we produced about the find. It says that video has circulated around the internet and currently has over 180,000 views. It has copyright, Elot Mazar and Herbert W. Armstrong College. And then my father says, how wonderful that God spotlighted his work in this way. Isn't it remarkable that our college would be involved in something like this? He says, the history of King Hezekiah is deeply inspiring. It's actually extremely prophetic. This seal has a message for this world that it desperately needs to hear. And then he says that he's hoping to write more on this and have an article in an upcoming Royal Vision on this subject. But just on this, the prophetic significance, really, of this history, Hezekiah, as you know, he came in and really did make some reforms, some dramatic reforms in Judah, and he didn't waste time as a young man. He came in and started to obliterate all of those places for pagan, idolatrous worship, and he got Judah back on track. And as my father brings out in this coworker letter, that's really what we've been doing for these past 26 years in the Philadelphia Church of God, raising the ruins of this work. Mr. Armstrong took it to the largest audience possible over the airwaves with the World Tomorrow program or his radio program. All of that literature that was distributed Millions and millions of copies of the Plain Truth magazine. 750,000 books, Mystery of the Ages books, in just 3 months' time. And then all of that was just destroyed. The work was stopped. The truth was buried in the ground. And it didn't take very long. Raising the Ruins, of course, covers a lot of this history. But what an example King Hezekiah sets for us today. The largest audience possible. That's the battle cry, as my father wrote years ago. Quite a few emails have been coming in. We haven't updated you on this in several programs. But this first one comes in response to yesterday's program. It says, to take the Star Wars craze going on so fervently now and using it to preach the true gospel and the incredible human potential is in itself incredible. Can't thank you enough for sharing the knowledge of what God is doing now here on earth and how excited we should be to know this inspired knowledge from the Word of God. It beats the Star Wars trilogy to pieces. Compared to man's incredible God-given potential, Star Wars is just a movie, just another movie. Thank you for giving the truth, hope, and excitement to those who listen and see it for what it is, the revealed Word of God and His plan for mankind. It's truly incredible and exciting beyond words. That's from a husband and wife team that listened to the program together. Another one here says, another great program. This is about Fridays, I believe. I love the humor about the driving test. Glad you passed. I'm always amazed at how many profound truths that can come from an experience. Keep the truth alive as prophecy unfolds, lightning fast. This next one here also came in response to Friday's program on the highway code. Thank you for this major lesson in how to stay focused on the laws, statutes, and judgments. I'm so thankful for this vehicle spiritual code. That's from Oklahoma. This one here from Florida came in response to the program last Thursday, I believe, on Donald Trump. This program was truly an eye-opening program. Anyone that listens to these factual topics, if honest, can conclude that the real truth of the matter has been covered on TDR. That, as I say, from Florida. This next one says, what an amazing week of programming. Congratulations on all the video views and literature requests. Hundreds of thousands of lives are being positively impacted, warned, and educated. The Key of David this week, as usual, was delivered with absolute mastery. The devil's personality was really exposed. The world saw it personified in Hitler, and to this day doesn't even really know it, for the most part. He continues, great reporting on Donald Trump. It's really interesting how so many people are offended because he wants to close the border and shut immigration down. Seems to me that people hate anything that isn't conducive to the rapid demise of our countries. That's about the way it is in this upside-down world. If it's not bringing us down, people or the leaders, the media certainly, they won't support it. Says, what a strong week all across the board. I heard every program loud and clear, straight talking, no nonsense, rooted in facts, so the listener doesn't have to guess, wonder, or assume. They can know. That comes in from Oregon. This next one here, another husband and wife team writing in, saying, I want you to know how grateful my wife and I are for the radio programs. I must add, not just TD, but Trumpet Hour and Live by Every Word as well. And occasionally the Key of David, though we like to watch that Sabbath morning over breakfast. I download the programs to my iPod and listen to them during my commute, which can add up to at least 3 hours or more per day. And even longer if there's a stall or accident. It makes a grueling drive. That should take only about a half hour, much more endurable. I look forward to the program so much that I almost experience withdrawal if there isn't a new program to download. There's an enthusiastic listener, if ever there was one. You're in our daily prayers, it says, that our Father will continue to grow and expand and strengthen this warning work as events in the world continue to spiral downward into the abyss of the Great Tribulation. I can't wait, as Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages, to get to the beginning with the return of Jesus Christ. May we finish quickly what God has given us to do. This last one here comes from Canada. He says, I live in Brampton, Ontario, Canada, and I'm relatively new to the Philadelphia Church of God. He says he's currently studying for baptism, and having God's truth at my fingertips with just the click of a few buttons really helps me to keep up with world events and understand how they tie in with the many prophecies in the Bible. He says, I work a couple of days in Toronto, which takes me about an hour and 15 minutes one way. I commute by train to get into the city and use a half hour of this time to catch up with some of my Bible studies. The other 45 minutes or so, which includes a 15-minute walk, I use downloaded podcasts on my phone to listen to both the Trumpet Daily programs, The Key of David, as well as Live by Every Word. I've also purchased an application called eSword, which allows me to quickly navigate and reference the scriptures mentioned during the programs. On Saturday mornings, my drive to Sabbath services takes me about 45 minutes one way, and I also use this opportunity to listen to the downloaded radio programs in my car. I pray each day that God will continue to bless this work and help it to reach the largest audience possible before the return of Jesus Christ to this world. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal, to reach the largest audience possible. And of course, as conditions in this world worsen, this truth, this message that you hear coming out from this church, it's going to come right into the spotlight more and more. It'll be more visible. It'll be heard more loudly. Prophecies also point to this as well. And perhaps we should spend more time on occasion discussing that. What God says about reaching this world with a message, warning this world, trumpeting this message to the world. It all starts so small. It always does with God's work. But God is a God of growth. And we see that with this work in so many ways. Just look at what's happened in this calendar year alone. All that's happened in this past year. Well, keep those emails coming. They're very much appreciated. You can send them, once again, you can send them to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma, with a live stream available at kpcg.fm. After we come back, we'll examine some of the more important headlines from the past few days. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Who and what is God? That is a mystery not understood by any religion, not explained by science, untaught by higher education. The intellectually vain originators of the evolutionary theory found the existence of God, as presented by religion, a mystery they could neither understand nor accept. But the religionists, whom they rejected, did not themselves understand the mystery of God. Yet God does reveal himself through his word, the Holy Bible, if these religionists would only believe God's own revelation. It is only in this inspired book that God reveals himself. But mankind in general has never believed God. That is what God says. Mystery of the Ages explains the Bible. In this book, you will find answers to the most perplexing questions of our day.
We offer it to you, the viewer, at no cost or obligation. Simply follow the information on your screen and request Mystery of the Ages today. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
Today, the United States and our armed forces continue to lead the global coalition in our mission to destroy the terrorist group ISIL. I want to provide all of you a brief update on our progress against the ISIL core in Syria and Iraq, because as we squeeze its heart, we'll make it harder for ISIL to pump its terror and propaganda to the rest of the world. So even as we're relentless, we have to be smart, targeting ISIL surgically with precision. We are hitting ISIL harder than ever. Coalition aircraft, our fighters, bombers, and drones have been increasing the pace of airstrikes, nearly 9,000 as of today. We're also taking out ISIL leaders, commanders, and killers, one by one. We're going after ISIL from their stronghold right in downtown Raqqa to Libya, where we took out Abu Nabil, the ISIL leader there. The point is, ISIL leaders cannot hide, and our next message to them is simple: you are next. So far, ISIL has lost about 40% of the populated areas it once controlled in Iraq, and it will lose more. ISIL's lost thousands of square miles of territory it once controlled in Syria, and it will lose more.
That's President Obama, obviously, in the speech he gave yesterday at the Pentagon, talking about the great gains made against ISIS, talking about the effort to destroy this movement, to squeeze its heart, talking about how relentless the United States has been, how hard it's hitting ISIS, killing off leaders one by one, putting ISIS on their heels. If all of this sounds familiar, it's because it is. You can go back to some of the highlights from the campaign trail in 2012 and hear a similar message.
Today, America is stronger and Al-Qaeda is on the path to defeat. We've ended our war in Iraq. We've decimated Al-Qaeda's leadership. We've delivered justice to Osama bin Laden. And we've put that terrorist network on the path to defeat.
And as a new tower rises above the New York skyline, Al-Qaeda is on the path to defeat.
Al-Qaeda is much weaker than it was when I came into office, and they don't have the same capacities to attack the U.S. homeland and our allies as they did 4 years ago.
The war in Iraq is over. The war in Afghanistan is ending. Al-Qaeda is on the run. Osama bin Laden is dead.
Today, the core of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan is on the path to defeat. Their remaining operatives spend more time thinking about their own safety than plotting against us.
It's hard to believe that was just 3 years ago. What a different world. What a different region. You look at what's happened to the Middle East. And in both cases, I mean, you have the leadership in America just talking about how great everything's going. I mean, typically it's either there's no threat, nothing to worry about here, or if it just becomes so blatantly obvious, then we hear from this administration that everything's just going great. We're making tons of progress. And the reality is the United States isn't leading this effort at all. It's working behind the scenes to plead, as I'll read to you later, to plead with other nations like Germany to be more involved, to be more forceful. Just coming back to ISIS. Now, again, this, as I think Joel Hilliker read from Daniel Pipes' column on Friday's program of the Trumpet Hour, Pipes, who believes that ISIS could be squashed in a matter of days if some powers would commit to ground troops. In any event, if you look at what's happened just in the last few years and just the popularity in the Muslim world of groups like Al-Qaeda and now ISIS. And then you look to the number one state sponsor of these terror groups. It's not a problem that's going away soon. Not at all. The Telegraph wrote last week, the number of foreign fighters in Iraq and Syria has more than doubled since last year to at least 27,000. A report by an intelligence consultancy said on Tuesday, highlighting the global dimension of the conflict. And this truly is a global phenomenon. They're attracting fighters from all over the world, including some from the UK, including some from the United States, including many from Europe. This piece says ISIS has seen success beyond the dreams of other terrorist groups that now appear conventional and even old-fashioned, such as Al-Qaeda. It's energized tens of thousands of people to join it and inspired many more to support it. In all, between 27,000 and 31,000 foreign fighters from 86 countries, have traveled to Iraq and Syria. About 5,000 made their way from Europe. This group added, this consultancy group adds that between 20 and 30% of foreign fighters were returning to their home countries, creating major challenges for domestic security agencies as ISIS in particular looks to carry out an increasing number of attacks overseas, and so it has. In Paris, in San Bernardino, thousands and thousands going to Iraq, going to Syria to fight, and then returning home. This is not a problem that's going away anytime soon. Notice this piece. This is from Business Insider, December the 11th. It's about a New York Times reporter that just made it back to the States after a visit to Libya. This article says, while Western nations focus on taking ISIS out in Iraq and Syria, the terrorist group's influence in Libya is rising as it works to build a potential backup capital if its stronghold in Raqqa, Syria, falls. A New York Times reporter who recently returned from covering ISIS, or the Islamic State, in Sirte, a coastal city in northern Libya, told radio host Hugh Hewitt on Thursday, this is last week, that he was shocked and alarmed at how much ISIS has grown there. This is Libya, the nation we liberated. That, too, just a few years ago. Remember that? Everything was going great. The war is going fantastic. We came, we saw, he died. You remember all that. And now it's a terrorist safe haven. More than that, they're building up a state there as well. Shocked and alarmed. This is a New York Times reporter. When I had last been near Sirte earlier this year in February and March, it looked like a bunch of local militants with their own local agenda just hauled up the Islamic State flag to make themselves look tough, he said. When I went back this time, not only did I find that they had vastly expanded their terrain, but the city of Sirte had become a kind of actively managed colony of the Islamic State leaders in Raqqa. It says, finally, ISIS is sending in their own administrators, many of them from the Gulf, as well as their own military commanders, often Iraqis and former officers in Saddam Hussein's army, to lead their operations there, and recruiting foreign fighters from around the region, this reporter said. He went on and talked about Libya as a failed state. All these local militias running cities. But ISIS has full control of about 150 miles of the Libyan coastline. And if you look on a map, I mean, that puts it pretty close. Here again, it puts it very close to the continent of Europe. It puts it just that much closer to the West. Now, here again, in many ways, a lot of this is a massive distraction, as Daniel Pipes brought out in that piece Joel Hilliker quoted on Friday. It's a massive distraction that really does benefit Iran as they push to get a nuclear bomb. Fox News had an opinion piece a couple of weeks ago. The headline is, "To defeat ISIS, we must target the godfather of terror, Iran." So he takes a similar position, this author. The author of The Iran Threat, by the way, a book released back in 2008. Alirzia Jafarzadeh is his name. In any event, he takes a similar position to Mr. Pipes. Syria has been the hub of ISIS growth, which benefited from the sectarian violence in Iraq to expand its breeding grounds. From a geopolitical perspective, however, a key player keeping Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in power, thereby exacerbating the crisis in Syria and fueling the sectarian violence in Iraq, is undisputedly the theocracy ruling Iran. That's the godfather. That's the kingpin. Now, again, we know Bible prophecy says that there is eventually going to be a break in that Syrian-Iranian alliance. We can talk about that more on another program, I suppose. But he certainly has it right, this particular author, with respect to the state, the number one state sponsor of terror. He goes back and covers some important history in this Fox News piece. Let's remember that this new brand of extremism, which merged backward ideas with terrorism, emerged when the mullahs seized power in Iran in 1979. Ever since, Iran's clerics have institutionalized this sinister phenomenon, which has evolved into a pillar of their rule. The first macro hostage taking, suicide operations, and street bombings in the West under the cloak of Islam occurred subsequent to the Ayatollah's rise to power. Utilizing the power of a state, Iran's clerics lent Islamic fundamentalism an unprecedented scope, legitimizing their vicious conduct under the banner of Islam while mentoring and inspiring other like-minded extremists. It says here, simply put, the regime ruling Iran is the Shia version of this menace, and ISIS is the Sunni version. Tehran is the godfather, with a much longer record and as a state with deeper pockets, both in terms of resources and political leverage. So much more power. So much more in the way of resources. When you look over at the Shia version, or as the Bible calls it, the king of the south. That's what he's talking about here. Iran as king. Prior to the Paris attacks, French President François Hollande, during a visit to Athens on October 23rd, said Bashar al-Assad is not the solution. He's the problem. After 300,000 killings and displacement of millions of people, Assad must go. An end to Assad would also significantly diminish Tehran's ability to support Hezbollah in Lebanon, and another major blow to the Iranian regime's regional influence. Well, that's something to watch very closely as we see everything in the Middle East being reorganized. We know that that break is coming between Syria and Iran. We know that Syria is going to swing more to the side of the King of the North, the German-led King of the North. And so when we see Germany getting involved in this conflict in Syria, in the Middle East, then we ought to sit up and take note, because these are significant events. The United States, its leadership, can talk and talk and talk about how great everything is, But when you go and look at the facts on the ground, we are seeing major prophecies of God fulfilled right before our eyes. They are being fulfilled. Last week we told you about the German military. Its mission against ISIS. This piece in GermanForeignPolicy.com, titled Policy Shaping Power in the Middle East, this is from December 10. It says, with its military intervention in Syria and Iraq, Germany is emerging as a policy-shaping power in the Middle East. Is that important? Is this significant? Germany is emerging as a policy-shaping power in the region. That's according to a government advisor of the German Institute for International and Security Affairs. It says the intervention in Syria decided last week could, therefore, last 10 years and could be accompanied by long-term efforts to politically reorganize the entire region, with the cornerstone being military units equipped and trained by the German government, serving as ground troops for the war against the Islamic State. See, it's all giving Germany a convenient excuse to get involved. And then, as I say, in the background, as Spiegel reported just the other day, you have the United States urging them to get more involved. You have the United States telling Germany to be more active with its military missions abroad. Go ahead. Spiegel says the American government's asking Germany to do more. It's demanding it, in fact. Even as our leaders carry on with everything's great, we're making so much progress, we're leading the effort. We've heard that a lot this week. Well, you heard it just on one of the clips I played for you. The speech that President Obama gave yesterday in the Pentagon. We're leading the world. He said the same thing over the weekend with that climate change deal that was reached in Paris. We, the United States, is leading the way. And in fact, the United States is showing just how weak it is at every turn. It's not leading the world, not anymore. This, too, is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. GermanForeignPolicy.com, this is from yesterday, says the first group of Bundeswehr soldiers will be leaving to go to war against the Islamic State. Participation in this war, which, according to government advisors, will promote Germany to a policy-shaping power in the Middle East, will assure Berlin reinforced integration into the most important command headquarters of the Western War Coalition against ISIS. It will also provide the German government more influence in the international power struggle over the reorganization of the Middle East. There's a power struggle right now, a power struggle going on right now over the reorganization of the Middle East. And the thing of it is, with Bible prophecy, we can tell you how it's going to play out. We can tell you, according to Psalm 83, according to Daniel 11, there's going to be two camps in the Middle East. One that swings to the side of Germany, and the other that rallies around the King of the South, Iran. And so you follow what's happening in the Middle East. You look up in Europe, in Germany in particular, you see them already on the march. We've seen the end of the Merkel Doctrine, and now Germany's on the march. And the way is being cleared for that Assyrian strongman to emerge. This last piece here was given to me by our news bureau, translated back in Edmond from Bayern Courier in Germany, a German publication, December 11th, 2015. It says Minister President Seehofer invited nine top representatives from politics, industry, and science. This is the conservative party that is in alliance with Merkel right now. But notice these key individuals, Seehofer together with Edmund Stoiber and Carl Theodor zu Guttenberg, they met together to exchange thoughts on Thursday evening. This would have been last week. The star-studded round called for a fresh start in the relations with Russia and added that the sanctions against the country should be examined. And then it quotes zu Guttenberg, who said, maintaining a transatlantic alliance and at the same time starting a new beginning with relations to Russia is what was under discussion. He flew in, by the way, zu Guttenberg did, flew into Germany from the U.S., where he currently resides. The article says here, we need both sides in order to curb the currently extremely high numbers of crises and conflicts in the world, the former defense minister and recently appointed member of the CSU strategy team emphasized. We need both sides, the U.S., Russia. We need to create some kind of relationship or alliance here to help curb all of these high numbers of crises. They're just all over the place. The article says later, the world seems to be downright out of joint in various places. It's because of all these crises. They are searching for a strong man. And even now, Germany is on the march, actively involved in the Middle East, in this reorganization of the Middle East. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, and the live stream is at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. The relatively new science of archaeology, the digging up and study of the material remains of man's past, has confirmed without question the historical accuracy of the Bible. Solid, documented evidence, apart from the Bible, confirms events and persons that at one time were known to us only from Scripture. The Bible is real, and you need to pay attention to it. Call now and request your free copy of The Authority of the Bible. This lesson, which comes from the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, blows the dust off your Bible. You will learn how to mine the treasures buried in the greatest book on earth. You can discover its secrets and enrich your life today. For more information, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
In that coworker letter that my father just completed the other day, he talked about just how difficult the task was for Hezekiah to come in and get the kingdom back on track. He had all these trials along the way, not least of which was this massive army, this massive Assyrian army, barreling down on Judah. Assyria, of course, struck fear in nations throughout that region. And the little kingdom of Judah was greatly outnumbered. As Herbert Armstrong wrote in a personal back in 1985, they were helpless. They face certain defeat. Just as you may feel helpless in the face of your troubles today. This is Herbert Armstrong writing. He said, if some of you try to solve your problem or overcome your bad habits or resist sin in nothing more than your own power and strength, you too will find yourself outnumbered, overpowered, and doomed to defeat. He says, you must learn, as this ancient king did, that God stands ready and willing to fight your battles for you. We can read about this over here in 2 Chronicles 32. This trial, this kingdom of Judah, greatly outnumbered, surely about to be overpowered by the real world power at the time, certainly the regional power over that Middle Eastern region. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1, it says, "After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him." So this is the cutting of that tunnel, that 1,700-foot tunnel, Hezekiah's tunnel, down in verse 6, "And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spoke comfortably to them, saying, 'Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him, for there be more with us than with them. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles.' And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Yes, indeed, God fights our battles. He fights our battles. Notice there that Hezekiah's words caused the people to rest. They were greatly encouraged and strengthened by these words. They were able to practice relaxed faith. If you skip down to verse 21 of this same chapter, it says, "And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face, to his own land. And when he was come into his house, or the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side." See, God intervened, smashed that Assyrian army. A tremendous miracle. Protected Judah on every side. And you know, these lessons, this history, it's more for us today than it even was for them in their day. Hezekiah was a converted man, and Isaiah certainly. But the people of Israel, they didn't have, as a whole, they didn't have access to God's Spirit like we do in God's church today. These lessons are for us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10. All this happened unto them for our example. These lessons are written for our admonition. And we're going to need to really be strengthened and encouraged by these history lessons. And know and take comfort in the fact that God will fight for his church, that God fights for you, that it's God and his power that enables us to win spiritual battles. Mr. Armstrong, in that article I mentioned a moment ago, he pinpointed two reasons why we so often lose our personal battles, our spiritual battles. He said, for one, that we've not fully known this great divine source of power that we can call on at will, God's power. We haven't known that power. And then he says the other reason is that we have, through lack of faith or neglect, failed to call on that supernatural help in time of need. It's all there for our learning. Come to know this great divine source of power. And then call on that power, that supernatural help, in time of need. so that God can lead you to victory, so that you can win these spiritual battles. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial. There in Edmond, Oklahoma, our headquarters campus. The live stream is available anywhere in the world where you have internet access at kpcg.fm. Don't forget to send us your emails through the week, td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow.